As warm as the sun, as silly as fun, as cool as a tree, as scary as the sea, as hot as fire, cold as ice, sweet as sugar and everything nice. As old as time, as straight as a line, as royal as a queen, as buzzed as a bee, as stealth as a tiger, smooth as a glider, pure as a melody, pure as I wanna be.
All right, this is episode 2 of the Tribecast. We had some good response after episode 1. We got hate mail, guys. That's awesome.
Woo!
That's really cool. All right, lots happened. We had the infamous Time magazine article, whatever the cover that came out, got a lot of response, and we launched our first podcast. Let's remember, our audience is not only people that are already digging what we do, there are people that are thinking about it. So we do want to try to keep that. I don't want to filter anybody, but we definitely want to remember that people are thinking about it. And we'll talk about the mail that we did that was interesting. But I guess we're going to start with the ballet.
The only thing I want to say about it is that a lot of the negative feedback around the magazine article was that it was divisive and it was pitting moms against one another. And that's we got a little bit of that as well in feedback about the Tribecast of, is this going to be another group of people who
thinks they're better.
Right. Who judge women who don't make the same choices we do. That is not what we are about. That is not why we're here. We'll talk at length about that today. That's not what we're here to do. We want to tell people this is what we did. It worked for us. It was great for us. If we can help you get there, if it's right for you, that's, you know, keep listening. That's what we're going to talk about. But we are truly not going to judge someone who makes a different decision than we do. If there's anything that I am bothered by, it's when people don't have the right information to make the decision. That's what we're out to do, is just provide information. Filter it through your own, you know, sense of what's right for you and your family. This is just information. I hope it works for some of you, but no judgment for those it doesn't.
Yeah, I always try to pin the example when I'm trying to explain to my buddies. They're like, oh, you're one of those hippie people. I was like, no, man. I was like, we don't even recycle. Like, we throw bottles away, right? But we are.
Tell Nikki that.
Yeah, but we are. We don't eat organic. If it's there, we do. But this is the one natural thing that's important to us in our life. We're not saying this is an all or nothing. We're just, it's important to us. And we want you to gather information. There is no, it's not a click. It's not meant to judge you. We just want you to give you information and want you to know there are people, similar people with like minds out there. All right, so what are we talking about today?
Just who we are and how we are here.
Like,
who we are in birth work.
Maybe, like, brief, each of us, how we came together, because I think there might be some misunderstanding. Like, we were all from the get-go, hardcore, natural births, you know, whatever. Like, we all had different paths. So, quick, what was your quick path that got you here, I guess, to start it, maybe?
I can go. Some of you know the story, but I was really moved by watching my sister have her first baby. I was young, wasn't married. She was young, but you know, she and her husband go in to have their first baby, had wanted to have a natural birth, taking classes to that effect. Went in, she went in just for a standard appointment, and she was overdue. And the doctor said, well, you know, you're overdue, and we think the baby's big, and your water's low, and it's Tuesday, and we induce on Tuesday. So he broke her water, sent her over to the hospital. I get the call, like, Eric's having her baby today. We were so excited. Drive up there. I don't know anything about birth. Nothing. Truly nothing. You know, I have no agenda. No, nothing. Just can't wait to meet my sister's baby. And we were in the hospital, you know, waiting. Inductions take a long time. And throughout the day, things progressively became more and more anxious and fearful. And the baby starts out fine. Everybody starts out fine. Baby throughout the day is just getting tired. Pitocin contractions are really hard for everybody. And so when the baby was starting to sound not so great, they were trying different things. They tried to, at one point, reinflate the uterus, put more water back in. I mean, they were trying all these things because I guess, you know, everyone was hoping for a different outcome. But the induction wasn't taking. It was, I guess, what probably got written down as failure to progress. But, at, you know, 12 hours later, My sister hadn't dilated. She was given a C-section. And my takeaways from the experience were just how fear, the whole thing was just drenched in fear and anxiety. It felt like at any moment something is going to go wrong. You know, my sister's afraid, her husband's afraid, the OB seemed afraid, you know, the family is terrified. She, you know, eventually goes back for a C-section. They were asking her to sign some forms as they're already starting to like strap her arms down. And I could see tears like they're coming out of her eyes. It was like something is wrong here. And I didn't know what or why or what could have been done differently. But it was obvious that like the system, something happened here. What happened? And so I left there and just started reading whatever I could. Anything I could read about birth, I read it. And that was how I began and how I got down the path of choosing some different things from my birth and all of that, which I don't want to make the story forever. But I came to it not as someone who had an agenda. It was like I walked in, I watched something happen to someone who I cared about, and I thought, man, there's got to be a different way. There has to be a different way.
And I think that is kind of the point of why we're doing what we do, is to tell women that when you have that feeling of something isn't right, follow it, go with it. And that's, you know, don't just assume that, well, the doctor said, or my sister said, or my friend said. If you have that feeling, find out what it is.
I think what happens too is you know, Matt's thing is five decisions away, but it's like you make one little decision or a little decision is made for you that puts you into the next decision that puts
right.
you into, you know, and we'll talk at length, obviously, about cascading interventions
right.
in as the podcast goes on, because it's a big part of what's happening right now. But it was, you know, did the induction have to take place? Well, they were suspecting a big baby. The baby ended up being a 7-pound baby. You know, how accurate are ultrasounds? These are the things that the information you come to later. But in her mind, the doctor is telling me the baby's got to be born today, so we're going to go do it. Break my water. Well, now there's no going back. The water's broken, and you see. I always wonder, like she was on Pitocin, and then it ended up in a C-section. There was no epidural in the meantime. Could we have used an epidural as a tool? These are the things that you learn about later. And at the end of the day, a C-section is not the worst thing that can happen to you. Of course, nobody thinks that. Nobody in this room thinks that. But I watched her recover, and I watched how hard it was. You know, nursing was hard. Every time you try and get up out of bed, every time you do everything, every time you lean over the side of the crib, every time you butt up against a changing table, you're dealing with a surgery. And if we can prevent that surgery unnecessarily, I'm sorry, if we can prevent an unnecessary surgery, we should.
Do you want to say who you are in birth now?
Oh, okay. So I'm Gina. I had my first baby in 2006. I used a doula. She was instrumental. So a doula is someone, a non-medical care provider. She comes and she's with you in birth. She is not your midwife. She is not your OB. She's someone who's experienced in birth, who can come and help you and provide information, provide support. She did simple things like massage and aromatherapy, and in the room she was, you know, applying hip pressure, and she was doing things to make me more comfortable. But really, the work that she did was helping me in my decision making through the process of providing information and making me feel like I was educated as I made my choices.
Gina was my wife and I's doula. As a male, I didn't want a doula there. I felt that they were taking my place, and didn't get it until during the birth. Oh, they're actually assisting. They're actually making the birth easier. It is an amazing thing. It was definitely our gateway into the drug of natural birth, if you will. Mm-hmm. I mean, it let us get in there and it tried it. We were at a hospital in a place that's good for natural birth. They're accepting of it, but having that doula there really helped us and let us know that this was a path we wanted to go down over time. One thing I want to stress through these stories is, you weren't born this way. You didn't say, everything's natural birth. You guys all accidentally got into it, and it took time. It wasn't something you did immediately. And so are you comfortable talking about what you're doing now?
So I had a great doula at my first birth, went and trained as a doula when my son was around 9 months old. I had quit my job to stay at home with him, and I wanted to do something. And so I trained, and part of why I trained was that I had friends say, can you just come and pretend to be my doula? since you had a great doula, and I thought, well, I don't want to just pretend. I'd rather get the training, and then I would know what I was doing. So I did that, and then it was like go to a birth for a friend, and then the next friend, and then a friend of a friend, and then I ended up doing doula work. I was doing a couple of births a month, which I just loved it. And I've had to stop doing that because my husband travels a lot, and we don't have family in town that can help us in the overnight childcare bit of it. But I hope to one day get back to it.
I'm Melanie. I got into birth work from, I guess, just my own experiences. You know, I talked a little bit the last podcast about my first birth, a transfer from a birth center to a hospital. And I used midwives for the last part of my prenatal care with my first birth. And I really just fell in love with the way they took care of me. And so as I went on to have more children, I have four now, I continued the path of the midwifery model of care. And so when I got that, I just became so passionate about the way that I felt like I was empowered in my births and in my pregnancies and in my postpartum, that I was just like dying to give that to other women. And I felt like I really, like every woman I saw, I just wanted to say, what do you need? Like, you know, what can I do for you? What do you need? And so after I had my second baby, I was pregnant with my third baby, and I decided to train as a doula, and I did that. And then I realized I can't possibly work as a doula because I have three young kids. So then I went on to train as a childbirth educator, and that is really where I just fell in love with getting to know the mama and her partner through their journey. And a lot of people come to me in, you know, the middle of their pregnancies, maybe the beginning of their last trimester, and they're starting to ask the questions like, well, I'm with, you know, this physician at this hospital, and I don't feel like I'm being heard. And so I started really loving kind of just making them ask some questions, raising their awareness of, well, what do you want? What do you think you want for your birth? You know, how do you want your birth to go? You can kind of design your birth. You know, you're able to ask for more than just a healthy mom and a healthy baby. And so, you know, and really getting to know the partners. I love that too, because Matt said, you know, you were nervous about hiring a doula, didn't want to because she would take your place. I get that. I totally get that. But I think a good doula, what she does is really facilitates the space for you to get in there with your wife and really makes that easy for you. So that's a conversation I have with people. But so then I'm doing childbirth education, and then I started noticing that there was also this kind of lack of care with lactation help, at the backside of the birth. And so then I went and trained as a lactation counselor. So I'm a childbirth educator / trained doula, not working doula, / lactation counselor. I've had four really different births, and I'm still so passionate about just supporting and empowering women on this journey.
Good job.
I'm Brice, and I think I talked about it a little bit in one of our other tapings, but I I'm the minority here. I only have one baby. everybody else has like five. but that one birth led me to do birth work. My longtime boyfriend and I got pregnant unexpectedly. It was scary. I didn't know what to do. I was, you know, even younger than I am now. And so, you know, I didn't know what to do. I had my mother, who was, you know, wonderful support. And luckily I had my fiance's sister, who had had two natural births. So I had kind of been through that with her. She was kind of an inspiration. But, you know, of course, I went to an OB. You know, first off, I went to my gynecologist. Just, you know, what you do. I don't know. I'm not the kind of person who likes to take medicine when I have a headache. I mean, I do it, but it's just not, hospitals are scary. For me to be in the hospital is scary. So I just thought, you know, that wasn't for me. So luckily I had, my fiance's sister to tell me about a wonderful midwife here in town, and I went to meet with her. And
hey, real quick, what's the difference between a midwife and a doula?
Oh, well, doulas are there for support and assistance. Doulas do not prescribe medication. They are not medically trained.
Doulas are not responsible for your medical care. A midwife is your care provider. She is who you go to, that you see through your pregnancy, who makes medical decisions with you. So a midwife would function as an OB would function.
So they've like gone to school and stuff?
Absolutely.
A lot of people don't know this. I'm playing devil's advocate. A lot of people don't know this.
Yes, a midwife is licensed by the Board of Medicine. She is, you know, she's a fully functioning medical care provider. A doula is a support person, is there for informational, physical support.
A lot of people,
educational support, but does not do anything for you medically. She's not going to take your blood pressure. She's not going to fiddle with your IVs. She's not going to tell you that it's time to do such and such. She's going to just, you know, she's going to help you get comfortable in your body during labor. She's going to help you provide, she's going to provide you with information that will help you make your choices.
I think a lot of people have that misconception that a midwife is like a witch, you know, that just conjures things and, you know, makes shit happen. And it's not that. I mean, they're medically trained.
And, like, outfits and
How many of you guys, on your first time you were having a baby with a midwife, your friends would say, you know, are you going to have the baby out back under a tree?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
It's such a misconception. You just don't.
Some people do have a baby out back underneath a tree, though. And that's
some do, and that's fine. We're not at that level. I mean, I want to make sure people understand that none of you, although that's an awesome part. I mean, that was one thing I liked about going to the midwife's. She had it at her house, and we met these people that lived on a commune and out in Charlottesville. It was a totally different world. I never even know that there's a commune in Charlottesville. You might know that. I didn't know that.
No.
Yeah, and they have stadium seating for the birth.
What?
Only one. Yes.
What?
Ask my wife. Ask Nancy. Nancy told us. I was like, what? Really? They have, it's like stadium seating, and it's like one person a year has a child in this commune. And it's really interesting. It's different. It's not our thing, but it's something, and it's different. And I thought, well, wow, this is
so
fascinating.
This story is supposed to illustrate how midwives are not weird, witchy.
My point is, it's diverse, guys. It's not just the far left or the far right. There's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the whole idea behind a midwife, you know, like versus an OB, is that they have more time to spend with you.
Yeah, what's the benefit? Yeah, what's better about a midwife than an OB?
I mean, what's
the maternal care?
The prenatal care. The midwifery model of care differs from the techno-medical model of care. So the difference between midwifery model of care and the techno-medical model of care, which is OBs, physicians, the midwife has more time to spend with you, first of all, in your appointments. You know, an OB's appointment usually lasts about 10, 15 minutes. Lucky.
And 10 of that is with a nurse, 5 if that is with the OB.
Right. And then going on to your birth, you don't know if your OB is actually going to be on call. So the OB that you've seen every appointment, who you've discussed your birth plan with, you've talked about what you want, you know, your OB has met your partner. Then when you go into labor and you call, oh, she's not on call. So now you're going to deal with someone you've never met before and have never even, you know, been eye to eye with that person. Where, you know, going the midwifery path, they do have more time to spend with you and they really work on instilling the trust in the process. But if you do have some medical things going on in your pregnancy, you know, gestational diabetes, group B strep, they will adjust the care there. That's not just, you know, the midwife's goal is not for you to just have a natural birth. That's not her goal. Her goal is for you to have a safe birth, and she will adjust the care to that. If you need to be transferred to medical, you know, OB care, that will happen as well.
So someone said to me one time that midwives are experts in normal birth, and obstetricians do most of their training in the, you know, in the things
what
that
ifs.
Can go wrong. Yeah, in the what ifs. And so you want to choose the expert for the type of birth you hope to have. And when you're with a midwife, if something does arise that she's not able to handle, you have a backup care provider. You have a backup OB. You transfer care to him or her and you get what you need. But you're not sacrificing one or the other. If you choose a midwife, you're not saying, well, if something goes wrong, then I just have to live with that.
I'm screwed.
And I just want to say that, you know, this comes in twofold, right? So there are awesome OBs out there that practice, you know, like a midwife. They will do all the things I just talked about, you know, stay, have long appointments, get to know you and your partner, be there for your birth. And then, you know, and same with midwives, you know, you, they're, people are different and the way they practice their trade is different.
So a lot of people have said to me, oh, you know, I would never have a midwife because you just never know when something will go wrong and things can go wrong so quickly and blah, blah. And one of the things I would say to that is that midwives, like Gina was saying, are trained in natural birth and are trained in normal pregnancy and normal birth. And they are also trained to be keenly aware of when you are veering off of the path of normal. And when a midwife notices, a good midwife notices that you are veering off, then she takes steps to make sure that you have the care that you need. Now, a lot of midwives are actually equipped to deal with a number of complications. And some of those complications they're not equipped to deal with. And they know which ones they're equipped to deal with and the ones that they're not. You know, they know when they're out of the territory that they specialize in. And so, for instance, you know, some people have said to me, oh, my God, well, you know, I had a hemorrhage after my birth, and I would have died if I'd been at home. Well, guess what? I had a hemorrhage after my birth, too.
Me, too.
And I didn't
Her,
die.
Too.
Me, too.
Ooh.
My midwife has prescriptive authority and gave me a few injections in the leg of Pitocin and gave me some Methergen and helped my uterus clamp down so I would stop hemorrhaging. So my midwife carries oxygen, you know, in case the baby needs to be resuscitated and all this kind of stuff. So
mine had to have oxygen.
What's that? Your baby had to have
oxygen? My baby had to have oxygen at home.
People don't realize that midwives are medical professionals who have the tools to deal with these kinds of things. Not all midwives are allowed to carry pharmaceuticals, and that's another issue.
You know, I had done a lot of research on that, and I was still not fully informed. And I was not down. I mean, I was down with natural birth. I was not down with the home birth. And I did not get it until the midwife showed up. And I had to take about 10 bags out of her car full.
Huge
duffel bags with oxygen tanks. And, I mean, we brought the hospital to the home. I mean, I just didn't get it. I wasn't aware. So I just want to stress that it's there. I mean, that's when I was like, oh, okay. If anything happens, pretty much she's got it in these
bags. Right. I felt really safe with that however my birth played out, I was going to have what I needed with my home birth midwife. If I were in the hospital, I couldn't have made that same comment. You know, I would have had all of the medical necessities available to me. I would not have had the holistic, intuitive, the wise care that was available to me with the home birth midwife. So I never felt like I sacrificed anything. But we're going off on a huge tangent.
Grace!
There's a finesse with midwifery that there's not with obstetrics, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's my long story short, because I won't take up too much time. But you know, I was young. I wasn't married. I hadn't thought about having children for a long time. And I was in the middle of nursing school. You know, it was just a total, like, you know, curve in the road that we took. And basically going to this midwife gave me courage, support. You know, I really felt, you know, empowered, which was something I think, actually helped me. I mean, because I didn't make the decision to be a parent. I think it honestly helped me.
Did you stumbling on the natural birth actually make your...
Absolutely.
I mean, it sounds like timing was so important for you on that. It was the right time in your life.
Yeah, I didn't know who I was. I mean, I was in college. I mean, I didn't know anything about anything. I mean, I'm still learning. But yeah, absolutely. After my wonderful birth that I had at home with my wonderful fiance and midwife, I mean, I felt like I could do anything. And that was just, I mean, it was so important moving forward, you know, being a mom. It was so scary. I didn't, you know, it's like flying by the seat of my pants, but I had that under my belt. I thought, fuck, if I can do that,
right.
I can do anything. And I still feel like that most of the time. Sometimes I'm like, oh, but, you know, from then on, I met all of you beautiful women, and, I was at Melanie's house, and Nikki and I were talking about doing this, doula workshop and becoming doulas. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can help other women feel this way. I'm in, sign me up, took the doula training, and have been working on and off as a doula supporting women ever since. So
And I actually just kind of want to add to your comment. It's, we're not trying to say that you can only feel empowered and like you can do anything if you have a natural birth mm-hmm. with a midwife. You can absolutely, and a lot of women do feel that empowerment having their babies, you know, in the hospital with OBs. And that's awesome and that's great. We're just trying to share that this is the path that we chose. This is how we got here. It was so amazing for us. And if we can help you, if you feel like you're looking for a different path, hey, check us out. Listen.
Well, and it's also, being a doula, I see all sorts of different kinds of births. Right. I've never been a doula at a home birth. Most of them are hospitals, either with an OB or a midwife. What it is when you see that woman right after she's had a baby and she has been informed of all of her choices. She has made her choices. Some things go wrong and, you know, that's okay. But she ends up feeling like she was the main person in control. That means that that's everything. And that's what, for me, I chose home birth. I chose, you know, my path, and I, you know, feel good about that. And that's what makes me moving forward, being empowered, not just having a baby without medication at home.
Right.
We hit this at a previous taping, but if you talk to women of any age, talk to your grandmothers, talk to your mothers, talk to anyone, they will remember how they were made to feel as they gave birth.
Yes.
They will remember it, and they will tell you the story like it was yesterday.
Yes.
So that is where we're coming from, is you are about to go have an experience. It's not all about your experience. That's not what we're saying. But you're going to have one, whether you want it or not. You're about to go in and have a spiritual experience having this baby, because there's no other way to get a baby born. Mm-hmm. So think about how you want that experience to go. Obviously, healthy mother, healthy baby. We hear it all the time. We believe it too. It's the most important piece, but it's not the only important piece.
I'm sorry, I keep jumping in. How much do you guys draw on that, like, regular life stuff where you're just getting your ass kicked? And how much do you draw
all
back
the fucking
on?
Time.
I was a badass. I was a badass right then in that moment, so I can be a badass now.
Yeah.
Is it a big part of your life later?
Yeah.
Somebody tell one story of that if they could.
Say something. I'll keep this really brief. But in my first birth, I mean, not only do I draw on my experience of having babies naturally at home, that was really kind of like the beginning of me being aware of the fact that I was a badass. I was always a badass.
Right.
But I remember also having an intensely healing experience in my first birth where I was taken to my knees, literally, by the pain, but also taken, you know, spiritually and emotionally, just really down, 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 down. And I was taken so low with the pain that I felt like every heartache and every abuse that had ever happened to me was happening in that moment. And it was really confusing for my brain to be in so much pain and joy at the same time and feeling like really gross in this moment where I'm about to birth my first son, you know? And I remember looking at that pain and looking at like all of that grossness. What I see now that I didn't realize then was that I was being given a spiritual opportunity for healing. And I was being kind of like splayed open, kind of literally, but also spiritually. And I was being given an opportunity to sort of like wipe the slate clean. And I remember looking at myself almost sort of like outside of myself in this immense amount of pain that was really mixed up with lots of other pain that had happened in my life, and realizing that I was not that pain. And that it was not part and parcel of me, that it was something that was separate from me, and that I didn't need to carry it any longer. And I floated up away from everything bad and awful that had ever happened to me. And I claimed the pain for the beauty that it was, and I let go of all the rest. And I remember saying to myself, as I'm like 10 centimeters down, like getting ready to push, and in this awful spot, saying to myself, I don't ever have to go back there again. And I never have. I was liberated.
And that's what we want for other women.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it right there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Kelly.
Dun, dun,
but also, with all of that, like, yes, that going back to the place in our births where we feel that, you know, we rocked it. Yeah, that. Also, I go back a lot to how my partner and I bonded. And that carries me through days when I really need it. I mean, every time I teach a first class, I tell my birth stories, and Peter is so happy when I get home. He's like, you tell the story? You tell him how I did that? Yeah.
I think that birth requires a mix of power and surrender. And I feel like I dip back into the surrender more than I dip back into the power. But there's times in mothering where I feel like, okay, this is one of these times that it's just, I have to endure it. I don't have to fight it. I can let it be hard and still go do it. And that's what's required of me right now. My first birth was all, for me, still all about the struggle. It was like I needed to fight against something. And it took until second and third for me to realize that, no. Stop fighting. It's time to stop fighting. It's time to endure it. Surrender. Let it come. And I have those moments of mothering.
I'm Rebecca, and I came to birth work in this group. I was later to have babies than most of my friends. I was, I guess, 30 when I had my first. And for like 5 years, a lot of my friends have been having babies, and I would hear these stories. One in particular that stuck with me was a friend who was induced and ended up feeling her C-section because the anesthesia didn't take and had seizures, and it frightened me. And so before I was even pregnant or thinking of getting pregnant, I started reading a lot, researching, and thought, well, I really would love to have a natural birth, and I don't want to be induced, and so I'm going to learn about this. So when I got pregnant, I stayed with my OB, and all through the beginning of the pregnancy, told her that, you know, we really wanted to have a natural birth, and we were taking a class, and we had thought about hiring a doula, and she was great all through all my appointments. I started our class at 32 weeks and was one of the only ones in the group that wasn't with a midwife. And so my husband and I went home that night, and we were like, well, maybe we should think about these midwives. And I was like, well, I'm 32 weeks, and, you know, there's only 8 weeks to go, and I think we'll be fine. And then at an appointment soon after that, I was measuring 2 weeks ahead, and she said to me, we can discuss induction at 37 weeks because of your size. And I just remember my stomach sinking and thinking, you haven't listened or remembered anything that I've said in all of these appointments. So we called our instructor. I got the names of the midwives. I got the names of some doulas. I called Gina. She said the same thing. She was like, the midwives are great. I switched. I think I was around 34 weeks when we hired Gina and switched to the midwives. I unfortunately only had like, I guess at that point, 6 visits with the midwives before then. But those 6 visits changed everything for us. Instead of 15 minutes in the room, I was in there with them for an hour. I had an amazing hospital birth. I realized the value of a doula. And when my daughter was 6 months old, I had a friend who was going to have a baby, and she asked me to go. And I remember calling Gina. I was like, what do you think about if I train to be a doula? I have a friend asking, and she said, that's the same thing I did. So I trained. I loved it. I've been doing it, I guess, now for 2 years. It just kind of started my path towards how I felt about everything, being part of a group of like-minded women who, you know, can support you, and also giving information out. A lot of my friends now call me on their second and third babies and are like, you know, how did you do this? Like, what do I do? And I think it's just being that resource to women that is empowering, and choosing the way that you want to birth is what it did for me.
We actually are running out of time, believe it or not. I think that's 4. Can we save the next 4? Because I'll swap out next week. Sarah can come in and we'll y'all 4. I kind of feel like we had our closing in the middle of this episode.
Yeah.
What you said, Kelly, was amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Can we do the one word? Everybody just go around the circle what you're feeling right now in one word.
Connected.
strong.
Happy.
Love.
Emotional.
Proud of my friends.
I actually feel honored. This is really cool to be a part of this. And I know this is becoming something. I think we all knew that once we launched it, it would be a big deal. And I think it's quickly going to become that. You guys are making a difference in people's lives. And
stick with us if you're out there. And especially the people that are angry, stick with us. Mm-hmm.
Please.
Truly tune into that. Where is it coming from? We get angry when a little bit of truth is revealed that makes us feel defensive. And just stick with it. Ask us questions. Let us know. You know, get in touch and let us know what we're saying that offends you, that tweaks you.
And up or down. If you love us or hate us, please write us and let us know.
Give us a chance, because you may find something revealed through this in you that helps you in future experiences.
This is about more than just birth. It is about becoming empowered and having a wonderful life beyond just birth. Can you walk us through how to reach us and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, Twitter at the Tribecast. We're on Facebook, the Tribecast, and thetribecast@gmail.com, and a website coming soon.
All right, we're coming, y'all. We're going to be taking over the natural birth world, man. This is exciting. please continue to listen. Continue to interact. We've got a couple episodes that we've got banked, but I think hopefully we'll start. We'll hopefully like to do this every week. So thank you guys for listening. This is the Tribecast. Actually, someone else say that.
Thank you for listening. This is the Tribecast.
As warm as the sun, as silly as fun, as cool as a tree, as scary as the sea, as hot as fire, yeah, cold as ice, sweet as sugar and everything nice. As old as time, as straight as a line, as royal as a queen, as buzzed as a bee, as stealth as a tiger, smooth as a glider, pure as a melody, pure as I wanna be. Oh.